Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is good to have you here as we commence another week together in the Bible, learning who God is. And last week, you might remember, we had a brief introduction to the order of salvation, or what some call the golden chain of salvation. We grounded our discussion in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, and we said that from this and other biblical texts, we learn that God elects, God calls, God regenerates, God converts, God justifies, God adopts, God sanctifies, God perseveres, and God glorifies. This is exactly how God saved Abraham, the Apostle Paul, you, me, and everyone whom he has ever saved and will ever save from sin. God saves, and this is how he does it. However, before we learn the details of verses 29 and 30 and start up this order or this chain, we need to take a step back and talk about verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Now, this is a phenomenal verse, and one sentence of the scripture that has brought profound comfort to many a person who loves God, perhaps including you. I will be telling you how this verse has impacted me, really rescued me from some false thinking about God, but we will get to that later. Still, by way of review, do you recall that last week we took another step back and read all of Romans chapter 8? We did that in order to see how the flow of the Apostle Paul's argument leading into verse 28 works, and so that we could see the living God. And every time God was mentioned in chapter 8, we highlighted his name. We found that God is mentioned 36 times. Jesus Christ is mentioned 20 times. And the Holy Spirit is mentioned 18 times. And that is very interesting because Paul mentions the Spirit only once in the first 7 chapters of Romans. But in chapter 8, he mentions the Spirit 18 times. I hope that you have read all of this chapter 8 for yourself. When you have done that, you will see that in a ministry bearing the name God Is, you must anticipate that I will eventually teach Romans 8 because this is all about God, his being, his nature, and his character. This is about what he does for those who love him. This is about what the Lord does for those whom he calls according to his purpose. This shows God in motion, God at work, and God taking action. Romans 8, verses 1 through 8 shows that for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Verses 9 through 11 tells us that those who love God are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who will raise our bodies gloriously. Verses 14 through 16 demonstrates the assurance we have that we are God's children, and as such his heirs. Verse 18, when you read it, you will see this, says our present suffering for Christ and for his cause means that one day we who love God will share in his glory. And this makes all our present sufferings not much of anything when compared to sharing in God's glory. Furthermore, verses 19 through 22 says that even though we groan, all creation groans. Now, that is because we look forward to dwelling in the new heaven and earth, which is coming. In verses 23 through 25, Paul says we eagerly await our adoption by God our Father. And in verses 26 and 27, we find that in all our weaknesses, the Holy Spirit helps us. The Spirit always intercedes with us in harmony with God's will, so that this intercession will certainly be effective. We went through Romans 8, verses 1 through 27 in a summary fashion only due to time restraints. But this is valuable for us to know and to accept as being true for all of us who love God. In fact, this leads us to agree with Paul when he opens verse 28 with these words, "And we know." "And" is the conjunction that links what the apostle has already written to verse 28. And the word "know," spelled K-N-O-W, in Greek, means to know with absolute knowledge. With full confidence, we know, and we talked about how Paul knew. He knows because of his own experience with God. He knows because he read in Scripture about what God had done in the lives of people in the past, in the lives of people who loved God. And Paul applied that to his own life in Christ. And we can do the same. We can know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And how can we know? First, look back on your own experience with God. If you love God, hasn't He given you evidence to know that what He is doing in your life is for your good because He has called you according to His purpose? Second, attentively read the Old Testament, read the New Testament, and read autobiographies and biographies of the people who love God, whom have preceded you in this life. As you read, apply how God treated them to how God treats you. What you learn feeds your knowing with absolute certainty that this is who God is in relation to you. As I said on Friday, lovingly yet boldly, if you are wavering, Christian, on what you know with absolute certainty about God, then you are not reading your Bible. Or you are not believing as true for you what you read about God doing for others in Holy Scripture. You are assuming that while the Lord did that for others, He will not do that for you. And that is a bad assumption. If you are in Christ at this hour, then every single thing we read in Romans 8 applies to you. "And we know" includes you. You know, or at a minimum, you can know. Today I want to look at this matter of knowing from another angle. This will be easily done in Romans 8. So if you have your Bible open to Romans 8, look at verse 26, and then we will look again at verse 28. I am reading Romans 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. "For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Ah, interesting. You heard me read, "We do not know how to pray as we should." I think many of us have had that experience. We settle in to pray, and yet the things we are called upon to pray about seem so overwhelming to us that we just do not know how to pray. We are at a loss for words. Have you had this experience? The apostle assures us, "The Spirit knows how to pray, and He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Well, that is reassuring, isn't it? But it is this contrast I want you to see. In verse 26, Paul says, We do not know. And yet in verse 28, just two verses later, he begins, we know. Do you see that? Do you hear that? He moves quickly from we do not know to we do know. In studying this, I was reading Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who in my estimation was the greatest preacher of the 20th century in the English language. His series on the book of Romans is robust and very rewarding. And he says this, quoting Martin Lloyd-Jones now, "The Christian is a man who can be certain about the ultimate, even when he is most uncertain about the immediate," unquote. I will repeat these wise words. The Christian is a man who can be certain about the ultimate, even when he is most uncertain about the immediate. And with the use of the word man in this context, he includes women. The Christian is a person who can be certain about the ultimate, even when they are most uncertain about the immediate. That is, in the immediate, at present, I can live with uncertainty. But concerning the ultimate, concerning the future, regarding what God has finally planned, I am very certain. Or, combining the words of the Apostle Paul with Lloyd-Jones, I do not know about the immediate, but I do know about the ultimate. Well, this is so good and applicable to our lives. So let's start here tomorrow. Again, I hope you will join us and invite a friend along as well. Someone you know who really would benefit from hearing this. And then come along, all of you, together as we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.